Not only should Walters be your spot before and after every Nats game, but also Walters is an avenue for cheaper Nats tickets. When buying tickets to Nationals Park through the rest of the season, enter promo code WALTERS for 30% off.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball to short. This is right at Abrams. He'll shovel to Chavis for one. On to first. Inning over just like that. How about K-Bert Ruiz with a mound visit? One pitch later, a double play. That erases the walk, and Mackenzie Gore is through six shutout innings here against the Red Sox.
And now the set. Here is the pitch. Swing and a long drive to right center field. Way back. This ball is gone. Goodbye. A three-run homer over the ball in right center field into section 142. Zoom goes K-Bert Ruiz with home run number 15. It's the Nationals 5 and the Red Sox 2. And the pitch swung on into the air to deep center by Garrett. This ball way back. Going. Gone. Goodbye. A tremendous home run by Stone Garrett. It's the back wall to the right of the batter's eye over the center field fence. By far. 442 feet, the estimated distance. Back-to-back home runs for Ruiz and Stone Garrett. It's his second home run of the night.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Thursday, August 17th, 2023, along with BassettSports.com Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Nationals Park. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. A Nationals victory led by two building blocks in Mackenzie Gore and K-Bert Ruiz. A Nats win in which the team smashed four home runs. We call that a good night. A 6-2 win over the Boston Red Sox at Nationals Park on Wednesday night in Game 2 of a three-game series. The Nats now are 16-9 over their last 25 games, 54-67 overall. This installment of the Nats Chat podcast is brought to you by Votes for Women, the latest board game released by DC's Fort Circle Games. Fort Circle Games' mission is to create fun, easy-to-learn, historical board games. Mark, a lot of good stuff from the Nats on Wednesday night. Even the scare in this game ended up not being too bad. Mackenzie Gore was great, 6 1/3 scoreless innings, 7 strikeouts, top of the 7th. Exits the game after throwing a pitch that misses wildly. Gore winces after throwing the pitch. The horrendous images that go through your mind, the horrific thoughts that go through your mind, we will not say. And Gore, of course, last season did deal with left elbow inflammation, but the word during the game became that Gore had some sort of finger issue, and then Davey Martinez and the Nats letting it be known after the game that Gore was dealing with a cut nail on his left middle finger. Even the bad thing on Wednesday night ended up not being so bad.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to say it, but I'll go ahead and say it. I was nervous there for a few seconds because I had flashbacks to a few other very prominent pitchers over the years who, in both instances, threw a wayward changeup out of nowhere and suffered major elbow injuries as a result. Steven Strasburg many years ago and then Cade Cavalli this spring. Now, it didn't take long to figure out that it wasn't anything like that. You could see that Mackenzie Gore was looking at and pointing at his finger. They, you know, took him off the mound. He stayed in the dugout for the rest of that inning watched Jordan Weems get out of the jam. So that also suggested that it wasn't anything super serious. And then afterwards we got the word and he insisted that he should be fine for his next start. It's something that he's dealt with before. So yes, big sigh of relief there. And I mean, what a shame that would have been if on a night that he looked as good as we have seen him yet in a Nats uniform, if something bad had happened. Thankfully it didn't. And thankfully the focus at the end of all this is just how good Mackenzie Gore was in this game.
Yeah, it's hard to take away the spotlight from the home run hitting Nats hitting four home runs when, of course, the team rarely hits home runs. But Mackenzie Gore did that with his outing on Wednesday night. He was really good. So 6 1/3 scoreless innings, 7 strikeouts versus 2 walks. He gave up one hit, which was a single. That was it. He was a very pitch-efficient pitcher. 85 pitches, 56 strikes. Versus just 29 balls. I mean, do the compare and contrast the pitch inefficiency of Josiah Gray on Tuesday night with the extreme pitch efficiency of Mackenzie Gore on Wednesday night. And note who he did this against. The Red Sox are a good hitting team. The Red Sox came into Wednesday 13th in the majors in team weighted runs created plus for this season. And we just got the scare in that top of the seventh. Now, I don't know that Gore necessarily would have lasted for that much longer, but it felt like that seventh inning was his, you know, his to have. And so at least he could have completed 7 innings. But this was, you know, maybe his best outing of the season. He's had some good ones considering the competition, considering kind of how up and down Gore had been lately. This was pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think this was the best one. He had 11 strikeouts against the Royals, but let's be honest, who he was facing that day. This was a much better, much more patient lineup. And the stat that stood out to me more than anything, and it's such a lesson for how you can be successful in the big leagues. He faced 22 hitters. He threw first pitch strikes to 17 of those 22. He was consistently ahead 0-1, usually with his fastball. And then that opened it up for him to finish off hitters. And yeah, 7 strikeouts, that's great, but that's not some dominant, huge number. He was throwing strikes and getting weak contact. It was just the one base runner until those 2 late walks. He was in total control of this. And I love to see it because we've talked about this a few times. I know that overall, you could say that Josiah Gray's had a better season, more consistent, although lately that hasn't been the case. But Mackenzie Gore's best starts have been far and away the best starts of anyone on this team. And when you see a game like this, you understand why everybody believes he can be not just a good pitcher, but a great pitcher. He's got a long way to go to get there. He's got to show he can do this consistently and not just once a month or whatever it has been. But he has this ability and he's got a swagger on the mound that he took the mound in this game and looked at a good lineup and said, I'm better than you guys. I'm going to go show it. And he did it with a fastball that is really good that he trusts. And it's such a contrast to what we saw the previous night from Josiah Gray.
And that really stood out to me in listening to Davey Martinez's post-game press conference, him singing the praises of Gore's fastball. You know, there almost was like a subtle message being sent to Josiah Gray of see what this guy did with his fastball, see the results. Now, why don't you do that? And, you know, you're more than capable of getting these results. You know, we can debate who the true centerpiece of the package from the Padres in the Juan Soto trade was. But if you want to say Mackenzie Gore, you're not necessarily wrong. He came into the 2021 season as the number 6 prospect in baseball per MLB Pipeline. He was taken by the Padres with the number 3 pick in the 2017 MLB draft out of a high school in North Carolina. This guy was drafted to be an ace. So when we talk about upside, like this is where that's coming from. You know, this is his age 24 season. What you almost always see with guys who become great pitchers is that giant step forward season. They don't all get off to great starts to their careers, right? Sometimes they're actually not good at all. Sometimes they're like mediocre. But then inevitably, in like year 2, year 3, year 4, somewhere in there, there is that big step forward that is taken. We saw that with Max Scherzer. We saw that with Jacob DeGrom. It's happened with a lot of guys. You wonder if we're going to get that with Gore. But you see an outing like this, you see some of the other outings he's had this season, and it feels like, okay, we're seeing like sort of snapshots of what he can be. And just all you're waiting for is for the snapshots to become more regular occurrences. I don't think that that's that far-fetched. I think we're seeing enough good from him this season to be able to realistically think, yeah, he is going to end up becoming the ace he was drafted to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can look at his season stat and say he's got an ERA of, what, 4.38 and The whip's a little bit higher. He strikes out a lot of batters. You can go find other pitchers over time that have similar numbers. And you're like, well, that guy wasn't anything special. And that's fine. But what we're looking at here, it's not a straight line through all of the starts. It is up and down. And the ups are way up. And I think that's what it is. And it's not just, oh, he just had one random really good start out of a bunch of duds. Like, there are enough of these dominant starts that suggest to you that that's in there and he can do that on a more consistent basis with some time and some experience. Whether it happens next year, the year after, I don't know. Knock on wood, he's been healthy, so that's a big part of it. Let's see how he holds up over the rest of the season, but it's a good sign that physically he's doing fine aside from a blister. Here we are in mid-August and he's made all of his starts, no issues there. That's really encouraging for him and makes you believe that he can be very durable long run. He started to fade there in the seventh inning. The pitch count wasn't high, but it's only the third time that he's reached the seventh inning. So it was new territory for him. But these are all little things that he will get over time that should help mold him into the complete pitcher that he can be. Step back and just look at what he brings on any given night. And you see that it's special stuff, better than the others that we've seen. Now, maybe next year, Cade Cavalli will have a similar look to him. We know he's got electric stuff and the ability to be a number one starter. But right now, at this point, Mackenzie Gore is the guy that I get most excited about because we have seen tangible evidence at the big league level of dominance from him. And not just once or twice, but a bunch of times now.
This episode of Nats Chat is sponsored by VotesForWomen.com, the latest board game released by DC's Fort Circle Games. Fort Circle's mission is to create fun and easy-to-learn board games for a wide range of ages. Votes for Women is a board game that lets players relive the fight to ratify the 19th Amendment, perfect for those in DC that love history and want to learn more about it. Designed by Nationals fan and DC resident Tory Brown, and published by Nats Chat superfan Kevin Bertram. Order from www.votesforwomen.com. That's votesforwomen.com.
Hey guys, Al Galdi here to tell you about Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. I have been eating Factor meals. They are outstanding. They can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. We, of course, are in the thick of summer, but the school year isn't far away. Everyone's busy. You want to make sure that you're eating well. With Factor, you can skip that extra trip to the grocery store and also skip the shopping, the prepping, and the cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and the nutrition that you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. All you have to do is heat up the meal and enjoy the meal, and then get back to doing whatever it is that you need to be doing. Here's what you do. Go to factormeals.com/natschat50 and use the code natschat50. You do that, you get 50% off. Yeah, 50% off. Go to factormeals.com/natschat50 and use that promo code natschat50 for 50% off. Factormeals.com/natschat50 and use that promo code natschat50 for 50% off. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit.
Chavis just recently turned 28. His best year with Boston was his rookie year when he had 18 home runs in 95 games. Now the 1-2. Swing a long drive down the left field line toward the corner. Back it goes, and this one is gone. A line drive home run from Michael Chavis puts the Nationals on the board 1-0. His second of the season comes at the expense of his former teammates. He's got to enjoy this trip around the bases to give the Nationals the lead.
So Mackenzie Gore on Wednesday night was great, and the Nats offense from a power hitting standpoint on Wednesday night was great. Now, if you take a step back and you look at what the Nats did overall offensively in this game, 9 hits, 1 walk, 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position, those are rather pedestrian totals for a game. And yet the Nats scored 6 runs. Why? How? 4 home runs. The beauty of the homer. A Nats team that this season has hit 112 homers, second fewest in the majors, smashed 4 home runs in this game on Wednesday night. Awesome to see that. K-Baird Ruiz. Maybe his nickname should be Clutch Baird Ruiz, because he came through in the clutch on Wednesday night, and he is coming through in the clutch lately, and he is having a monster month of August. He has the Nats cleanup batter on Wednesday night, 1-for-4, but the one was a big three-run homer. K-Baird in the Nats 4-run eighth inning off the Red Sox having tied the game at 2, smashed a tie-breaking 3-run homer to right field for a 5-2 Nats lead. 15 home runs now for K-Baird Ruiz this season. 10 of the 15 have come in a 7th inning or later. And you look at K-Baird Ruiz's August. He's slugging .627. And he so often now is batting in the cleanup spot. You know, we've talked so much about how C.J. Abrams has risen to the occasion in being elevated to the number one spot. How about K-Baird Ruiz? Is he not rising to the occasion of being more or less now the Nats' every game cleanup batter?
He really is, Alan. I don't know that long term he is a cleanup hitter. I'm not sure that's their grand vision of him. But for now, given what the other options are, he's probably their best choice. And he is rising to the occasion. You said 10 of the 15 homers have come in the 7th inning or later. 4 of those have either given the Nats the lead or tied the game late. So he is delivering in big moments late in games. And I think that's such a special gift to have. We've seen it, you know, from C.J. Abrams coming through often late in games. We've seen the bullpen do well. We've seen Joey Meneses do well in clutch spots. I do think there's something to be said for guys who don't let the moment become too big for them. That's a great sign in the bigger picture of what they can be. And Ruiz, even if he's having a rough night at the plate, he does seem able to lock it in when it really matters and give you a good quality at bat. And it's funny, he said, like, he's trying not to do too much in those spots. And isn't that how funny how that works? The less you try to do something big, the bigger things you actually get done. But I mean, think about this to tie it back to Gore. K-Baird Ruiz, Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams. Three of the big acquisitions from the last two trade deadlines. Think about the progress we've seen from all of them this season and what they've been at their best. None is a finished product yet. There's still a lot of work for them all to become what they can fully be. But boy, right now, it's hard not to be excited about that, understanding where they came from, how far they've come, and how much more growth potential there still is there in all of those cases.
I think especially with Abrams and Ruiz, because they were not having good seasons. They really are changing the narratives to their seasons with what these guys have done these last few months. So I give them a lot of credit. You know, one of the things we've said is it matters where C.J. Abrams is in September, you know, so the struggles of April, May, and June don't really matter all that much if the guy is doing so much better as the year goes on. We're seeing that with Abrams. We're seeing that with K-Baird Ruiz. Stone Garrett is a guy who also is having a great August for the Nats. And Stone Garrett now is hitting both lefties and righties as opposed to just lefties. Garrett on Wednesday night as the Nats starting left fielder and number 5 batter, 2-for-4 with 2 solo homers, each of which was a bomb. Garrett in an Nats 1-run 4th, a leadoff homer to left center field on an 0-2 pitch from the Red Sox lefty starter James Paxton for a 2-0 Nats lead, 415 feet per Statcast. And Garrett in that Nats 4-run 8th, a solo homer on a shot to center field off Red Sox righty reliever Garrett Whitlock for a 6-2 Nats lead, 442 feet per Statcast. We know that Stone Garrett is built like a Greek god, okay? So that he has, you know, immense power, that he can hit 400-plus foot homers isn't exactly a shock, but he's gone from kind of this one-trick pony if you put him against lefties to now, no, he's hitting righties as well. Stone Garrett for this month of August is slugging .633. He's been a tricky guy to figure out in terms of, like, where he fits into all of this. This is his age 27 season. I guess you can kind of put him in that same category of, like, Joey Meneses, Lane Thomas, not old enough to where you just dismiss the guy, not young enough to where you say, well, he's a, you know, a rising hotshot prospect, you know, so he's kind of in that middle ground, but he's talented, and I don't think you should just, like, wipe him off the table. Like, no, he's contributing here, he's doing well, and, you know, there's something to him. I mean, he really has come through for them lately.
Yeah, so you mentioned Thomas. Well, here's the evidence. Lane Thomas has an 808 OPS. Stone Garrett now has an 804 OPS for the season. Now, yes, they've tried to find advantageous matchups, a lot of them against lefties, but you are starting to see him get more opportunities against righties, and it's really nice to see him deliver in those spots. Think about, we kept talking about how when Corey Dickerson was here, if he started a game, he very rarely would finish it because he'd be pinch hit for if there was a lefty brought in late. you use Garrett. Same thing with Blake Rutherford when he starts a game. Well, when Stone Garrett starts a game, he's not getting pinch hit for. He's staying in there and having the opportunity to face righties late and has come through in a lot of those spots. So that says to me there's a lot of faith being shown in him from Davey Martinez. Now, I mean, how does he fit in? We know there are a lot of really talented outfielders in the system that are just waiting to make their debuts up here and guys with more of a reputation when they come in. But as I'm saying with all these other guys who are playing right now, now's your chance. Do it now before any of the kids arrive and force the Nats to keep you around. Force them to consider you to be part of the plan moving forward. I don't know exactly what he is. I think he's solid as a platoon. Can he be more than that? Maybe. Maybe there's a DH future for him as well, depending on what happens with Meneses, what happens at first base. But in the meantime, until they call somebody else up, if you're Stone Garrett, take every opportunity you can to take advantage of what you're getting right now and force the issue, force them to consider you part of the plan for next year and beyond.
If you can hit, teams will find ways to use you. Like, there are always plate appearances to be had. Guys get hurt. Guys slump. You have the DH now. I mean, I don't worry about that. I don't think the Nats should worry about that at all. Like, if the guy can play, you keep him around and you can figure out ways to use him. And Stone Garrett doing a really good job. So good to see that. Hey, Michael Chavis homered on Wednesday night. That's the kind of night it was for the Nats from a power hitting perspective. I mean, Michael Chavis starts, what, like once or twice a week maybe? He actually has hit a bit, though, lately. And Chavis, as the Nats starting second baseman and number 8 batter on Wednesday night, 1-for-4 with a solo homer, did strike out twice, but he and the Nats 1-run third, a leadoff home run to left field on a 1-2 pitch for a 1-0 Nats lead. Joey Meneses in this game got on base 3 times, 2-for-3 with a double, a single, and a hit by pitch. Lane Thomas had a 2-hit night. He went to 2-for-4 with a couple of singles. Hey, are you a law firm partner stuck on an underperforming team while the rest of the competitors are spending big and winning big? Well, unlike Mackenzie Gore and Kaybert Ruiz, you have options. You don't have to stay on your 60-win team. Nats Chat sponsor Mason Kalfas and his team specialize in placing partners and associates at medium-sized and large law firms in Washington, D.C. and across the country. Mason Kalfas has recruiters in 6 states and has placed lawyers in more than half of the 100 largest law firms in the United States. While you may be reading doom and gloom from the legal press, many practices are red hot. Antitrust, IP litigation, white-collar litigation, finance and direct lending, and healthcare. Because you are not under a CBA or team control for 6 years, in fact, staying at a firm too long is often a recipe for being underpaid. Explore your options today with Mason Kalfas. Call Mason today at 202-486-3535. That number again, 202-486-3535.
If you too are on the lookout for some cheaper tickets to the Morgan Wallen Show at FedEx Field in early September, then I suggest you check out the Game Time app. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports and other shows near you. It is the fastest growing ticketing app in the USA for a reason. Get images of your seat before you buy, so that way you know exactly what to expect when you show up. Grab the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Here's what to do. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT, that's spelled NATSCHAT, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Hey guys, it's Al Galdi for Window Nation. Well, the heat, the humidity, the sky high temperatures, they all are here. And all of this is forcing your air conditioning into overdrive, leading to ultra high energy bills. The solution, new windows from the folks at Window Nation. And Window Nation right now is offering a sensational deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Right now, no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 years, plus 50% off all styles of windows. And if you call this week, you get an extra 10% off. call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Again, no money down, no payments, no interest for 2 years, plus 50% off all styles of windows. And if you call this week, you get an extra 10% off your order. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. If you've been thinking about getting new windows, now is the time. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
There's a ground ball up the middle. A base hit. Brown gets a hard turn. Will score another run standing up. Give Dylan Cruz 18 Fred Nat RBIs, another multi-hit night, and a 5-1 lead.
Here's your Dylan Cruz update for the games played on Wednesday evening as the Fred Nats defeated the Augusta Green Jackets 5-1. Cruz hit second, played center field as he usually does, went 2-for-3 with an RBI, a walk, and a strikeout. He now has 18 RBIs since he joined the Fred Nats, and he hasn't even been there for 2 weeks. Now back to Mark and Al.
Finnegan sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a bouncer right side should do it. Smith has it. Underhand flip to Finnegan. Covering. And bang! Zuma. Curly W's in the books.
The bullpen finally revealed itself to be human, to be mortal. Three Nats relievers combined to allow 2 runs in 2 2/3 innings. Jordan Weems, he has been so good lately. Something like this was bound to happen. He allowed 2 runs in 1 inning. Now, he did get a big double play. Came into the game top of the 7th. Runner on first, one out, Nats up 2-0. It was Weems who relieved Mackenzie Gore. Weems on his 3rd pitch induced a 6-4-3 double play. But then in the top of the 8th, Weems gave up a one-out first pitch single by Alex Verdugo to center field. Then gave up a one-out 2-run homer by Pablo Reyes to left field to tie the game at 2. What felt like the first big homer given up by the Nats bullpen in a while. A Nats bullpen that overall this season has given up a lot of homers, but lately, like, so little in that regard. And then the bullpen was fine. Jose A. Ferrer, top of the 8th, faced 3 batters, got 2 outs, both via swinging strikeout. And then Kyle Finnegan, a scoreless top of the 9th. It now is newsworthy when the Nats bullpen gives something up, and something was given up.
Right, and I don't even want to blame Weems that much for it, because like you said, he got a couple of huge outs to get out of the 7th inning after Gore went down with the blister. And, you know, okay, he gave up a homer. I mean, he's human. He's entitled every once in a while to do something like that. So I didn't think it was all that bad from him. And, you know, let's also point out that in a different scenario, maybe Hunter Harvey is pitching that inning, but he had just gone the night before, coming off the IL. You're not going to use him back-to-back days. Because Weems was so quick to get those last 2 outs of the 7th, I don't think there's any issue about bringing him back for the 8th. But in a perfect world, everybody's available. Maybe he doesn't come back for the 8th and you go with Hunter Harvey instead. But, you know, it was fine. Jose Ferrer, 2 big strikeouts. More and more, I think you like what you see from this young left-hander. He's got some really good stuff. And when he throws strikes, he is effective. And Kyle Finnegan, I know it was a 4-run game, so it wasn't necessarily high leverage pitching the 9th, but he has just continued to really be no drama. And I mean, think even at times in the past when he's been good, there's been some drama sprinkled in there. There's been no drama for Kyle Finnegan for the last month or so. It's 13 consecutive scoreless appearances. And it's a really nice feeling to have an automatic closer, because how many times over the years can we say the Nationals have had that?
You wonder if the trade deadline was, say, at the end of August instead of the end of July / early August, would there be teams knocking down the door now for Kyle Finnegan? Now, maybe that was the case for this year's trade deadline, and, you know, we just didn't hear a ton about it. I mean, his name came up. It was never quite clear how much interest there was in him, how willing the Nats were to trade him, but he is surging right now. And if you are a contending team, and if you needed, you know, a true ace guy, this guy is pitching like an elite closer right now. So, you know, you wonder, like, would that entice someone to give something up for him? But obviously, we are past the trade deadline. And here's the thing, right? So this Nats bullpen, which overall is still doing well, just got back Hunter Harvey, now could be getting back both Tanner Rainey and Mason Thompson. As it turns out that each guy is going to be beginning a minor league rehab assignment on Friday. So Rainey has been on the 60-day injured list since opening day due to Tommy John surgery that he underwent on August 3rd, 2022. Thompson has been on the 15-day injured list since August 5th, retroactive to August 2nd, due to a left knee contusion. How soon do you think these guys could be pitching for the Nats?
Thompson will be sooner than Rainey. You know, let's remember that this is still, for Tanner Rainey, part of the Tommy John rehab program. And so it's not even about how he pitches or how he performs on the rehab assignment. They're going to have a plan for him and scheduled outings and days off early on. Eventually, they'll want to see him pitch back-to-back days. So you're allowed up to 30 days. I don't know if they'll use the full 30, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's close to that. So you're talking mid-September. And really just a handful of appearances that he would make for the Nationals down the stretch if everything goes according to plan. But the idea there is get him back, let him see that he's healthy and go into the winter feeling good about himself so that he's full go next year. Now, in Thompson's case, it should be quicker than that. It hasn't been out very long, so it's not like he should need a whole lot of time to get things back. I think what's interesting in his case is, do they want to see some results before they activate him? He was going in a bad way prior to the injury. He's had such an up and down season. Great April, bad May, great June, bad July. I think they want to make sure that mechanically he's in good shape and having some success before they add him. Because let's be honest, at the moment, there aren't a lot of obvious candidates to be sent down to replace in the current bullpen. That's crazy to even suggest that, given where these guys have been and come from. But at the moment, it's not like they're desperate for Mason Thompson to rejoin the bullpen. If he's on, it would be a welcome addition for them. But I think they might want to make sure that he's on with a few really good appearances in the minors where the mechanics are good, the results are good before they bring him back.
There is a luxury now that was almost unthinkable just a few weeks ago. And that is, yeah, we don't have to have the guy be brought back. What about Carl Edwards Jr.? Do you think he's going to pitch again this season?
Yeah, I was just thinking like, we haven't even mentioned that guy who at the time of the injury was so important to them and it seemed like a huge loss and they have not really missed him at all. He is pitching down in West Palm Beach. I don't know why it's there and not on a minor league rehab. Maybe that will happen here eventually. Maybe it's the Nationals saying, you know, we've got depth right now. This guy is going to be a free agent at the end of the year anyways. We're not going to feel an urgent need to bring him back unless something else goes wrong. I'm not entirely sure what the deal is there, except to say he's not really first and foremost in anybody's mind. And at the moment, I'm not sure there's a real strong case that they need him that much over what they have.
I mean, Carl Edwards Jr. was placed on the 15-day injured list on June 21st, retroactive to the 20th, with right shoulder inflammation. We are approaching 2 months for him on the 15-day IL. And yeah, it's like you're not hearing anything about him. So kind of strange. I mean, Hunter Harvey has gone on the IL and come off it since then. Mason Thompson has gone on the IL, is about to come off it since Edwards went on. Edwards was really the first of the relievers in this like avalanche of relievers going on injured lists to go on one. And yeah, he's still there. And it almost feels like they've parked him there. That like to what you just said, there isn't this extreme desire to activate him off that.
And think about the other guys are potential long-term pieces who you want to see right now. Carl Edwards as a free agent. I mean, they could bring him back. It's possible they re-sign him, or they may say, hey, we've got enough depth now with guys who don't cost as much or under club control for several more years. Thank you for your service, Carl, but we can move on without you now.
Well, game three for the Nats against the Red Sox Thursday afternoon at 4:05. Patrick Corbin will be the Nats starting pitcher. This installment of the Nats Chat podcast brought to you by Votes for Women, the latest board game released by DC's Fort Circle Games. Fort Circle Games' mission is to create fun, easy to learn, historical board games. Hit us up on Twitter at Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us online as well at our website, natschatpodcast.com, which allows you to listen to previous installments of the show, contact the show, and order a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. A thank you to Tim Newmark for the Nats Chat Podcast music. Visit timnewmark.com. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast.
Paxton throws. Swing, it's golfed in the air to left center field and deep. This one is way back toward the track and the wall, and it is gone. Stone. Garrett makes it 2-0 Nationals, golfing a low cutter over the fence for his eighth homer of the season. That one lands about six rows deep in the Brewhouse red seats. Nationals' second home run belongs to Stone Garrett here tonight.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.